All right, let's take our hymn books and turn to 366. 366. Sunday. We want to do what we can to be a blessing to Kathy Hinkle and her family during this difficult time. What we are deciding to do for the next little while, the blue box in the back, we're giving gifts to pastor in that. We are now choosing to set aside that box. Anything that goes in there will go to Kathy Hinkle and her family. Okay, so you put cash in there, you put a check in there, whatever it is, all that's in that box will go to her and her family. Okay? As we discussed in the business meeting, we are now giving Pastor his check each month. We started doing that, in February, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't need to do a special love offering for Pastor anymore. He's getting his normal check that we discussed in the business meeting. So any other offering that you want to give, put in the regular offering box. Okay? So hopefully everybody understands that. Any questions? Okay. All right. I believe that's all the announcements I have. Pastor, you have anything to add to that? Okay. Very good. Before we go to our next song, let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Still on just verse 11 for this week, but starting Sunday, we're going to include verse 12 as well. Titus 2:11, let's say it together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All right, very good. Jason. 390. nice if we could just keep on singing. Maybe sometime soon we can do that. All right. We had one of those a little while ago, and that was a real blessing. We have the anniversary of the church. We had a Singspiration and a testimony time. That was a real blessing. Okay, before Pastor comes, I want to take just a moment or two for any prayer requests that anybody has that is not listed. Yes?
I have four things.
Okay.
We need to pray a little more right now for Pete Heisey. Julie had posted, I think it was Monday, they ended up having to take him to the hospital. He was throwing up and he couldn't keep anything down. And his heart was racing. In the evening, she said it was up to 200 beats a minute. So it was really going fast, and she ended up calling the ambulance, and they took him in. And he has ventricular tachycardia, which is basically a fast heartbeat. And so they're going to be implanting a defibrillator to monitor it and keep it going the right way. They got the vomiting stopped. He is still in the hospital and probably be in a couple days before he can come home. They did test him for COVID, and he was negative for that, so that was good. And then Art Gilmore, I mentioned him last week. He had the surgery today to repair a whole bunch of hernia mess and some plastic surgery that they did with it. The surgery went well, better than expected, the doctor said. He'll be in the hospital probably 5 to 7 days, and then it's quite a lengthy recovery, months worth of recovery. So just continue to pray for him and for their church. And then Bob Hitchens, I talked to him today, and he's feeling somewhat better. They have an appointment for Friday to see the hip surgeon to check everything out. They had x-rayed and said it looked okay, but now he's going to see the surgeon just to make sure everything's okay with the hip and see if they can figure out what's going on that's causing the pain. And then any of you that remember Pastor Jerry Harris that preached at the tent meetings the other year, his wife, Alita, has been in the hospital for a couple months now, seriously ill. She needs a heart transplant. And if she doesn't get one in the next few weeks, they said she's not going to make it. They were thinking that she was going to need a kidney transplant too, and the doctors determined that right now she doesn't, but if she doesn't get a heart in the next couple of days, if she's still living, she will need a kidney transplant also. So we can pray for them. Where do they live? I'm not
sure. You just took a church in Indiana, I think.
Indiana, maybe. But
How do you spell her name?
A-L-E-T-A, Alita Harris.
Got it. Okay.
I would think she's maybe late 40s, early 50s at most. Because their oldest is only in his 20s. So, not that old.
Okay. Well, we've already heard about a situation where somebody died young that was in ministry, obviously. Pastor Craig Griffith passed away. He was in his 40s.
And Pastor Swafford.
Yeah, as well.
Too.
Yeah. We don't know how long we have.
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead if you had anything else.
That was it.
That was it. Okay. I'm sorry. Barb, did you have something? Okay, go ahead.
Just want to ask us to keep the people that I spoke of last Wednesday in prayer. And I just want to add my resident, Gina. She's going to be going home on Friday. And I just wanted to ask you guys to pray for her and pray for me that God will give me traveling courage, because she's going home and I've been witnessing to her, and I plan with God's help to go pick her up from church. Start picking her up from church. She lives in Allentown, so she's coming into a very nice residential area. And so her name is Gina. pray for salvation for her. And also pray for God to give me Charles courage, because I'm going to Arizona very well downtown to start picking her up from church. She's going home Friday. Probably won't be this Sunday, but following Sunday, I plan to go get her for church. And also, please pray for Peggy. As another co-worker that I've been witnessing to, and just got Peggy's her home information and number, and I've been talking to her for over a year now, and last year sometime early, she told me that she wanted to be able to come out to church, but she doesn't have a car. So it's just her and her daughter. She lost her husband, which I didn't even know, about 3 years ago. So she's been a single parent raising her daughter, who's in college. I think she's about 18, 17 or 18. And they don't have a car, and she would like to be able to come out. And she lives right over, by the facility. And so I'm in the circle someplace. So I'm gonna put your address in my GPS. And I said, and I will be glad to come and get you to take this very new church. So just pray for her schedule, because she works in the kitchen in the dietary department. And I know our schedules are different schedules, and I don't know how it's going to mesh, but just ask her. I pray that the Lord will work it out. I can go pick her up, and I could be able to pick up Gina for church.
Okay. I'll repeat that.
And they both need salvation.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. Her co-worker, Peggy, she and her daughter, she hopes to be able to bring here to church, but their schedules are kind of different. So pray about that. And then also her patient, Gina, is going to be released to go home this week. And she lives in the Allentown area, and she would like to come to church as well. So pray about that. So those are the two.
Yeah, pray that God gave me
the courage. And the courage for her to go into Allentown. That's not everybody likes traveling in Allentown. That's understandable. Okay. Kathy, I'll get you next. Go ahead.
If you could just pray for me to be strong tomorrow. My son comes home. His ashes. And at 10 o'clock, and I'm going to be home alone. I wish I wasn't, but my son, other sons are busy. And so if you could just pray for strength.
Okay.
Thank you.
Her son that passed away, his ashes are coming to her house tomorrow, and it's difficult. Chris, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Some of you know my youngest daughter, Kimberly. She just turned 21 on February 23rd, and she's living in Germany. And her would-be father-in-law fell sick. He went to Romania, came back a week later. He got COVID, or what they're calling COVID, and he's on a lung machine now. So he's really doing poorly, and she's very, very concerned. And she called me up and asked me to pray over the phone. So that's a good sign with Kim, because I wasn't sure where she stood spiritually. So this is, it's taxing her and emotionally. And let's pray for Dieter, his name is. I don't know his last name. Probably couldn't pronounce it anyway. But
what was his first name?
His first name, and all that I know, is Dieter. D-I-E-T-E-R.
Dieter, okay.
Praying for God to help me to get an open door, back into her life and her heart, because I would like to be able to start bringing it to her kids. They're old enough now that she can't say no. start bringing them out to Sunday school, and I'd like for her to come too. But we're kind of estranged right now, but I just want to pray. I've been praying for Tiffany a long time, and I just feel like, you know, maybe this is a good time to enter back into her life again. Just ask that the Lord would give me wisdom, because I've grown a lot now. And just ask the Lord that he would give me wisdom to know how to reach her, and that the kids would be able to come out to Sunday school. So it's a twofold. The kids
yes.
would be able to come out to Sunday school, that Tiffany would allow me to bring them if she don't want to come, but also for God to be able to reach her, because Tiffany knows the way. She just don't want to go that way. But she knows the Lord. She's from a little girl. So that the Lord would just deal with her heart.
Okay, in case, for those who may not have heard that, she wants special prayer for her daughter, Tiffany. She's been away from the Lord a long time, and she has kids that are old enough now to come to church, and Cheryl would like to bring them herself if her daughter won't come with as well. So let's pray about all of that. Did I see a hand over in this area? I'm sorry, Erica, go ahead.
I just wanted to give the Lord praise. We had such a great weekend down to see my parents and to meet my niece. So I'm thankful for the safety and the time with my family. I thank you those who are praying for us to have safety. Also, if you would put my parents on the prayer request. They are saved. They do know the Lord. They've been out of church for a little while now. But we were able to... we actually found a church last year when we went to visit... a good King James only Bible preaching church called Tabernacle Baptist. They're a wonderful church. They're so welcoming. But we were actually, we had the opportunity to have my parents go there on Sunday morning and hear the message. And I just pray that they would get back into church. Their names is Mike and Sue. Last name is Yurko, Y-U-R-K-O. If we could just pray that the Lord works in their heart to get them back to church. The church they're used to going to is sort of along the lines of a social club. They're not of a King James only belief. But Brian has been able to witness to my mom and tell her about the King James Bible. So I just pray that they would work, you know, God would work in their hearts, that they would be able to get into a good church and enough, you know, to see the Lord work in their life.
And that's a tough thing for you because you're here and they're there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do the long distance thing with that. So that's definitely important. Okay. All right. Brian.
I'm going to just say to continue to pray for Brother Hoover. He's, I guess he's been battling pretty serious health issues. I know a lot of it is surrounding the heart problems that he was having. I guess it hasn't been stopping him from preaching, but I know he's been struggling pretty much.
I think he has a doctor appointment coming up finally.
I think it was last week, but I haven't followed up with Kathy.
But I guess he's struggling pretty good. I mean, every time I reach out to him, he never acts like he is, but we go to the wife and get the real scoop.
All right. Brother Hoover is on the prayer list, but we want to continue to pray for him. And obviously, they just took a church out in Oregon, so that's that adds to the burden. And I don't know his exact age, but he's in his 60s for sure. And
65.
Yeah, yes. So it's difficult. So we need to pray for them. Okay. All right. We need to cut it off. Pastor isn't going to have enough time to speak if we keep going. So, all right.
We can keep going if you want. I'll just go to like 9:30.
Amen.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
if I'm falling out the window. I shouldn't be too far of a fall out these windows. Should be all right. Yeah, we'll continue on this evening. Take your Bibles and we'll go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter chapter number 1. It's been a while since I think I've been up here on a Wednesday night, so try to do a little bit of a review, kind of what we were looking at, and we'll go here, we'll start in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, I'm going to take the jacket off because I'm getting a little warm. I want to stop right there for a moment because one thing it kind of jumped out of me. I've been looking for a job up here dealing with youth, and kind of along those lines there. And what I've noticed is, The links or the site that I'm set up on, they send me usually daily job openings here in Allentown, Easton, the surrounding area. When it comes to the mental health field, dealing with psychology or psychiatry or things like that, counseling. And so I get all the job listings. And lately, I'd say within the last 2-3 weeks, this huge upshift in behavioral counselors or behavioral instructors, behavioral interventionists. And the more and more research I do into it, it's more basically somebody to come in and try to deal with kids that don't know how to behave. And this is the issue. We're kind of going to look at it this morning, but kind of the issue is this, is that we have, and I mentioned it Sunday, and the more and more I see this, is you have a generation coming up that nobody knows how to handle. They don't know how to handle it. Okay, it's because we've departed from the Word of God, and as I said on Sunday, sorry if I sound like a broken record, but we're trying all these other means to figure out how do we deal with these kids? How do we handle them? I mean, I had a plumber come out Monday, and I guess his wife owns a couple daycares. He said he's already turned away 100 kids because they can't handle them. 100. So here you have a man that's talking, he's looking at me, he's like, well, we don't even know what to do. We can't, these kids come in, they slap you, they do this to you, they kick you, they're 3, 4, 5 years old, we can't handle them, so we just send them back to the parents. And he said, there's parents that were begging him when that snowstorm came through and they had to shut down things, he closed down the daycares, they had parents call him begging them to open it up and that they would pay him double just to take their kids off their hands. You're talking about, look, this is something coming forth from your own womb, your own child, and you're begging somebody to take it from you because you can't handle it. And so, and I'm sorry again if I, but if you throw this away and you say, there is no God, I don't need God, God does not exist, and yet you're reaping the repercussions from this now, and it's coming back in on us, and we're trying all these special ways to try to figure it out, and you can't figure it outside of God. It's impossible. So the Bible says here in verse number 4, and this is what Peter's saying here to these brethren, and this is 2,000 some years ago, to be careful here in verse number 4. Why? That having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the church, I think, is starting to, if it hasn't already, drifted away, lusting after the things of the world, and it's affecting itself inside the church, and it's lacking power. And it's showing up in our families and the way we raise our children and our homes. I'm not talking about in this church. I'm talking about in the general independent Baptist realm. You're seeing it starting to come to fruition of things that were preached and taught in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it's coming out in the children. Now, I don't know much about this area here, but I know a few churches down there in South Carolina. And a lot of the families I knew had a lot of churches, when the kids got older, they went crazy. And not only did they go crazy, the husband and wife ended up getting divorced and marriage is messed up. I can't even count how many I know that were raised in churches. Because I think they weren't implementing what God said in His Word. They were in there and they thought just because they had a King James Bible, everything was all right. Brethren, it's good to have a King James Bible. I believe you ought to have a King James Bible, but you need to do what the King James Bible says to do. You need to put it into practice. It's good to believe and know where the Word of God is, but if you don't do what the Word of God says, you're not going to get the results. Does it make sense? So Peter's telling him here, he's saying, be careful because you can be defiled. Why? Through the lust of the world. As a Christian, you can fall away and you can lose power with God by the corruption that is in this world. Verse number 5. So this is what Peter says in verse 5. And besides this, what he already listed, verses 1 through 4, besides this, giving all diligence. Peter's telling you tonight, Peter's saying, listen, you give all diligence. You take heed to this, that you make sure that you add to your faith virtue. Basically, just doing right. That's what virtue is, basically. I'm not going to go over it this evening, but just start doing right. Add to your faith virtue, and then once you start trying to do right, now get some knowledge. Add to faith virtue, and then knowledge. Start learning about what the Bible says. And don't just stick in one book of the Bible. Like I said Sunday, read through the entire Bible. You should at least try to read through the entire Bible at least once in a year. At least once. If you read 10 pages a day of your Bible, you'll go through your Bible 3.5 times in 1 year. Just 10 pages a day. How long would that take you? I don't know. Some people aren't as good as readers as others, but at the max, an hour? 10 pages? Just think about it. So he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Now, I think I looked at that temperance a little bit the last time I was here. I want to go over a little bit more. Temperance, the word temperance is found 4 times in the Bible, and it's located in 3 different verses. You can find it in Acts 24:25, Galatians 5:23 is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 and 7. Okay? So, take your Bible and look at John chapter 16, dealing with temperance. John chapter number 16 and verse number 7. John 16, verse number 7. Temperance. What is temperance? It's basically moderation. Temperance is basically being able to control your appetites and your passions. So what your flesh desires to do, temperance, if you have temperance, you're able to bring the flesh into subjection and allow the Spirit to rule in your life. So basically temperance is moderation and being able to control your appetites and your passions. So Acts chapter 6, I'm sorry, John 16 and verse number 7. Wasn't a long book. John 16, verse 7, talking about the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, look what he will do. He'll reprove the world of, number one, sin, then of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And verse number 11, of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. 3 things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is what the Holy Ghost has come into the world to reprove the world of these 3 things. Number 1, that you're a sinner, and without Christ, you're destined for hell. There's no other hope. You're a sinner and you need a Savior. Number 2, of the righteousness of God. You need righteousness. You want to go to heaven? You need righteousness. But your righteousness is filthy rags. So God says, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been made righteousness for us. Okay? He is righteousness and He gives us righteousness. And then number 3, judgment. Judgment's coming. You're a sinner. You need to be righteous. If you don't have righteousness, God's going to judge. He's going to reprove the world of these 3 things. Now, I'm not going to go there, but in Acts chapter 24, Paul deals with Felix about those 3 things. Except he zeroes in on the sin part and he labels it as temperance. He doesn't say sin. He says temperance. He dealt with, he said, one of your issues and problems is temperance. That man had problems with moderation. He couldn't control his appetites. Whatever those appetites were, he had trouble controlling them. Now, take your Bible and look over at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to take a few moments here to look at the story of Amnon, who was one of David's sons. 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 1. 2 Samuel 13, verse number 1. Temperance. Be able to control your passions, your appetites, and to be moderate. I'll say this. There's a lot of preachers that will get on individuals that drink alcohol. Good preachers. They'll get on individuals that drink alcohol. They'll get on individuals that watch TV. They'll get on individuals that smoke. But you hear very few preachers getting on overeating.
Yeah, there you go.
Or being overweight, bad overweight, and they won't touch that. Actually, most of them will joke about it. But that's just as much as bad as alcohol is. Or being covetous in another area. See, if you can't control... The Lord doesn't just set certain things and, okay, these other things are all right. It's not. Yeah, it's not right to drink alcohol and get drunk. That's wrong to do that. That's not right. But so much so also if you're just stuffing your face all the time and you can't control how much you eat and you just eat, that's just as bad. Right? They got TV shows on that to where people can't control their... To me, that steps over into a spiritual realm. There's an issue there to where if you can't stop eating, that's a problem just as much as if you can't stop smoking. Does it make sense? But the eating food doesn't seem bad. Smoking's bad, but food's not bad. It's the same thing. If you can't control it and it controls you, whatever it might be, then it's wrong. There was a man my pastor talked about, said a man had an issue with boats. He couldn't control his appetite with boats. He was absorbed with boats. Now, I don't understand how that could be with, whatever. But with this man, his life revolved around, his passion and his appetites revolved around boats. And that could be something but if that's his thing that he can't control, then he needs to get that right with God. Does it make sense? So controlling your appetite passions. Here, verse number 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. This young man is struggling, but he's got this thought and this lustful thought in his mind towards his sister Tamar. Now, I've said this before. I think David ran into issues because he multiplied wives to himself. Now, David, I think, was 1,000 times better man than I am, but I think it caused him issues. And one of the ways I think it caused him issues is because there's no possible way that David could raise his children all the right way. It's impossible. Having this many wives and this many kids, there's no way that you can stay on top of it like you need to stay on top of it without falling through the cracks somewhere. And Amnon, in my opinion, didn't get what he needed from a father to a son in order for Amnon to learn how to control his passions. Now, I also say this too. I know you can raise your kids the right way and they're going to make their own decisions. I get that. But if you don't spend any time with them, there's going to be problems there. Does it make sense? David here, Amnon is sick in love with his sister. Verse number 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on the bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I might eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and baked cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought him unto, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. So Amnon could not control his passions. He could not be temperate. He couldn't bring his lust and his passions into control. And then what hindered him even more is he listened to his friend, who was not really his friend. And you see that later on. Jonadab really didn't care much about Amnon. Amnon considered him a friend. Jonadab was just, I think, using him in some senses. And you know the rest of the story. But one thing I want you to realize there is verse number 13. Thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. See that? Amnon's actions are showing that he has a foolish heart. Now, take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This one thing we know according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is that God doesn't put us in situations to where we can't do the right thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. All right? So God's not going to put us in a situation, if we're saved, that we can't handle and do the right thing. All right? Now, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I'm going to say this. The seed and growth of temperance begins in childhood. Okay? The seed that you plant in a child's life of temperance, it begins to grow, hopefully, in childhood. If not taught and nourished up during this period, during the period of childhood, from 1 year old to 17, 18 years old, whenever they leave the home. Okay, that time that you have the parents have with that child, you try to teach them temperance. Okay? If it doesn't happen during that time frame, or kids in a situation where they don't have that, it can still be taught, but it's gonna be very hard. And it's gonna be very difficult. And I said this before, if you have an apple tree and it's small, you can take the buds off with your fingertips. You can just pull the flowers off, it's no big deal. But if the apple tree is 15 feet tall and it's a mess and it's been a mess and you want to get in and you want to get it back to where it can start producing fruit again, you're going to need ladders, you're going to need ropes, you're going to need chainsaws, you might need some other hands to help you prune that tree back to get it where it needs to be to where it can start producing fruit. It's going to be a lot more work. Same thing with our lives from being a child. It's easy to deal with when they're little. But you let it go, and you let it go to 40, 50, or 60 years old, and now all of a sudden they're 60 and they want to get right with God and start doing things right. It's going to be a lot harder for that 60-year-old to get where they want to be with God than it would be from a little kid that's been brought up that way. Does that make sense? So temperance, it needs to start when they're young. Now, Proverbs 22:6 says this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, a lot of people use that in a good sense, and I think you can, but you can also apply it in a bad sense. If you train up a child in the wrong way for 18, 20 years, and now you're going to expect them to all of a sudden change, it's not going to happen. And another thing important is making sure there's no hypocrisy in the home. It's another big thing. If you have children, make sure that what you preach with the mouth, they see in your life. All right? Now, take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15. Tamar said to Amnon, you'll be as one of the fools in Israel. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15. Look what it says. All right? Proverbs 22, 15. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So in order to push out foolishness, there has to be the rod of correction, and that will drive it far from him. Now, take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter number... Let me say this, and I added this on here. Foolishness means basically folly. Folly or a lack of understanding. And folly means this. It means a fool. Now, listen to this definition of folly. It means a weak or an absurd act, not highly criminal. An act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or with the ordinary rules of prudence. All right? So foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Okay? The Bible also says, rod and reproof give wisdom, which you'll help, when you discipline a child, help them to gain wisdom. All right? Wisdom for what? To depart from doing things that are foolish or that is folly. Now, I think some people in here, some I would hope would know what YouTube and all this social media stuff. There's some things I've seen that people have done that I've just scratched my head and I said, I can't believe people are doing this crazy stuff. There was something going around, this might have been a year or so ago, of kids eating Tide Pods. Mm-hmm. Now listen, a weak or absurd act, not highly criminal. That's not criminal. An act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason. And you're seeing more and more of these acts that young people are doing, and people like to watch it, and they make money off it, and the more absurd and dangerous it can be, the more money you're going to make. Mm-hmm. Well, where is it coming from? It's because foolishness was never driven out from a child. And so you have a generation coming up that is basically a generation of fools that has no proper reasoning for things that are prudent. A prudent person would not take a Tide Pod and put it in their mouth. That's not a prudent... I'm not going to put it in my mouth. And that's just one example of something that young people today are doing that makes no sense to the common... And it's getting worse and worse and worse. It's folly. Now you say, well, there's no big deal in that. It is kids being kids. Yeah, until kids start dying. Or kids start taking their own life. And suicide among young people today, especially girls, is even worse with girls, of just young kids, 11, 12, 13 years old, taking their own life. It also can be this, an absurd act which is highly sinful in any conduct contrary to the laws of God or man. Take your Bible and look at Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 17. Mark 7, 17. Temperance. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Be able to control your appetites, be able to control your passions, having moderation, basically having self-control. Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 17. Mark 7 and verse number 17. And when he had entered, talking about Jesus, entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And what happened is the Pharisees were getting on the disciples about not washing their hands before they ate. Verse number 18. Jesus, and he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draw, purging all meats. And he said in verse number 20, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, look what comes from the heart, out of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I'll tell you this evening, I'm almost done. You take away the rod, you take away society. You take away discipline, right? I'm not talking about child abuse now. There's a right way to train up a child. All right. Grandma used to go out there and you get a switch. Right, you get a switch off a tree. I've done a little tiny thing. Flexibility. And you get a little whooping on the rear end. That'll smart for it. Last time I checked, there's no vital organs in the rear end. They'll be just fine. Right? But no, now today, that's considered abuse. You go to jail for it. Okay, so what's more abuse? That or locking a kid up in a 6x6 cell for 3 months straight without coming out? Or drugging them up so much because you don't know what to do with them. You just throw them in there because you have no clue what to do with them. And every time you let them out, they bust the TV because they can't control their passions. They climb up and they rip the lights out of the ceiling. They punch guards out to where the guard's got to go in because he's got his head swollen because they kicked it in so many times. Which one's better? When they're 2, 3, 4 years old, you discipline them a little bit. You do it the right way. You do it in love. It hurts you more. It usually hurts them. They learn from it. They listen to you about it. And now they grow up to where they can they'll listen when they're talked to. Which one's better? Well, see, we'll throw it away because we know better because we have the degrees. Yet the Lord says here that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And then all these other things come from the heart. And it all starts when they're little. Now, I'm almost done. Go back to Proverbs. I'm going to look at a few verses in Proverbs and then we'll pray. There is a lot here with this thought. A lot. And God in Proverbs puts a huge emphasis on foolishness. And we have a lot of foolishness going on today. Proverbs chapter 19 and look at verse number 3. Proverbs 19 and verse number 3. Look what Proverbs 19, verse number 3 says. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So a lot here you see foolishness and heart kind of go together. Foolishness and the heart. Foolishness of man perverteth his way. Well, what does perverteth mean? It means to turn from truth. To distort from its true use or end, to turn from right, to corrupt. So, foolishness of man perverteth his way. When foolishness is in a man, it's going to corrupt him. He's going to be prone to turn from the truth. You'll say, well, why won't people listen to the gospel? Why won't people want to come to church? Why won't people want to hear what the Bible says? Because foolishness has perverted their way. They've been corrupted. And it's hard for them to want to turn to the truth because of how they've been raised and what they've been raised with. It says next there, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. A foolish man, his heart fretteth against the Lord. What does fret mean? It means to make angry. It's to irritate. His heart is angry. His heart gets irritated towards God. And you'll hear it. What kind of God would let this happen? I don't want to serve a God that would send somebody to hell. I don't want to serve a God that would do this. If there's a God in heaven, why is he letting all these bad things happen? I don't want nothing to do with that kind of God. Well, his heart is fretting against the Lord. Why? Because there's foolishness in there. A fool said in his heart, there is no God. A fool makes a mock at sin. You see, listen, how important it is to train your children when they're little is because you can put a fear of God there. A child ought to fear its father in a right way. A son ought to fear his father in a right way. It's a natural thing because in that they can see then that they need to fear God. If you can't obey the authority you can see, how are you going to obey the authority who you can't see?
Amen.
That's why all this nonsense going against the police and the government and authority and rebellion against it. If you can't obey a police officer you can see, how are you going to obey God? Good. And you can't use the excuse that they're all corrupt. No, they're not all corrupt. I was a police officer and I wasn't corrupt. It's an excuse. But if you can't obey an authority you can see, you're definitely not going to obey God. The last verse here. Now you can link verse number 3, 19:3. You can link this over to verse number chapter 15, verse number 4. Foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Look at verse chapter 15, verse 4 in Proverbs. And I ain't got time to go into it tonight, but usually if they're foolish, they often can't control their mouth. Verse number 4, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, where in the tongue, therein is a what? A breach in the spirit. You know what a breach is? A breach is a hole. And if there's a breach in the spirit, that means there's an avenue for the enemy to walk in and out and do what he wants to do in your life. If you have a breach in a castle, that's a serious issue. And you need to get that thing fixed real quick so to keep the enemy from coming in and out. But a young man or a young lady or an old man or old lady that can't control their mouth, They have a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in the tongue is a breach in that spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs verse number 2, look, jump up two verses. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You have a society today that you say what you feel. You have a right to say what you feel. You have a right to voice your concern. And that's the definition of Laodicea. Rights of the people. I have my rights. And so everybody just thinks what they want to think. And they say what they think. And they don't care what anybody thinks about what they think. And you get yourself in a mess. Because the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The Bible says, and I'm not going to look at it tonight, but controlling what your mouth says. You say, Brother Chris, that's a lot tonight. And I didn't even go over all the cross references I have. Maybe next week we'll continue on. But this thing with temperance is important with God. Self-control, self-mastery, being able to control your passions. And a lot of Christians can't control their passions. Therefore, they fall into the same sins over and over and over again. They might get victory over it for a week or two, but they fall right back into it because they don't have the self-control that God desires for us to have. And it all comes back to that proper raising as a child. Now, I get this. There's a lot of kids today that are being raised without parents. I understand that. There's a lot of kids today being raised in a foster system. You say, well, what about them? I believe God has grace with that. I believe God has grace. And I believe God still gives the ability to do the right thing. And will help you along if you desire, as long as you don't quit. But temperance, you can't go far with the Lord until you get this temperance thing down. Being able to control your fleshly appetites, your passions, your desires, and to bring them into subjection. And when you can finally conquer that, when you can finally conquer yourself and have self-control, now God can start adding on to their patience. Listen, if you don't have temperance, you're never going to have patience. I struggle with patience. Well, maybe go back to temperance. Go look at your temperance. And maybe it might be somewhere in that line of temperance that's causing you issues to not have patience. Do you see how the reason I started this study is because it's building blocks for Christians. You start with virtue. Just start trying to do right and then start learning. And as you learn, you start applying it. And as you start applying it, it'll start building, it'll start giving you the ability to have temperance, start to bring things in control, because you bring things in control by staying in the Word of God and memorizing it and using it as a sword, putting yourself to death daily. I die daily. These are hard things to do, but when you can start doing them, you're going to start seeing temperance grow in your life. And as temperance starts to grow, then patience will start coming in, and brotherly kindness and charity. These things will start to bear fruit in your life. But they're building blocks. You can't just jump to the end. You've got to start from the beginning and build it up to get to the point where you want to be with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, there's a lot here, dear God. There's a lot in Proverbs dealing with this subject. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us, Lord. I know, Father, that sometimes we wish we could go back and do things differently. But Lord, here we are this evening. And Father, if there's someone here, and Lord, that just, Lord, didn't have parents, didn't have those there to train them up in the right way, there's nothing you can do about that, Father. But I know, Lord, you're a good Father. And Lord, if we desire to draw close to, Lord, I believe that you'll give us the tools and the means, and Lord, you'll deal with us in the right way to bring us along to where you want us to be. Lord, just help us to be willing. Help us to have an attitude to allow you to correct us, to reprove us, to deal with us, Lord, and bring us to where you want us to be, Father. Help us to not shy away from it. Lord, help us to grow in virtue and knowledge and temperance and in patience. Lord, that we can just be that light, testimony, example to this world. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. And I pray you just help these precious brethren through the rest of this week. And Lord, just give them grace, strength, and help. I pray you be with Miss Kathy tomorrow. Lord, I pray you encourage her. I pray you lift her up. I pray you'd help her. I pray you undergird her, Father. Lord, for what she's got to deal with tomorrow. And just help her in a special way. And Lord, I pray you also help Jason. I pray you encourage, continue to help him. Lord, strengthen him, Father. Lord, the rest of the brethren here that may be going through things that I don't know about. I pray you just lift them up and encourage them. And help us just to continue the good fight until you call us home. And we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. And take a little break and then we'll spend some time in prayer.